Good afternoon. Today is Friday, July the 26th, 207th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Simple Country Therapist Lou Quimby.
And a sunny good afternoon to you.
Oh, it is sunny outside,
yes,
I understand. Rumor has it. We'll have our quote and our theme when we come back.
Okay, a theme? Well, it's just a quote. It could be a theme. It's possible.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 312. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby. But before we do our quote, out of the thick book this time.
2,548 Best Things Anybody Ever Said, many amusingly illustrated by, etc., etc. You can pretend to be serious. You can't pretend to be witty. Such a gitchy. You can pretend to be serious. You can't pretend to be witty. Now, would that be half, dim, or knit?
Or yes.
There's witty all by itself.
Yeah, exactly. What does humor provide for people?
Relief.
From?
Overstressed, focus. It breaks the tension of often dichotomous choice, black or white. No, I want the gray. You can't have the gray. The gray runs in the Preakness next Monday. What? The gray often is the name for a horse.
Yeah, no, I...
The gray.
I followed it.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. I thought I'd just parse it out for you.
Yeah. I got it and still didn't like it.
Yeah, that's right. And that wasn't that good anyway. And then there's the interpersonal humor you and I enjoy about bantering, which is about who's better, fastest, quickest, on the uptake, the funniest, the I can do better than you. And so that kind of humor, bantering, is friendly competition.
Yeah.
Unless you're a member of Congress.
Then it's a company with swords and daggers.
That's right.
Yeah. Where does satire fit into the realm of humor?
I think it fits in about the existential ennui that occurs in the world, and satire makes the dichotomy of, say, forced choice big and satirical in its sense of funny, and calling a spade a dirt-moving implement instead of a shovel, right? So satire pokes fun at the over-serious frequently. And some people can get to be over-serious, too. Like, let's sit down and talk serious near for 2 or 3 hours and drink a pot of coffee, and then we can tear each other's throat out.
I don't think it'd take that long.
That's right. So when people are doing their homework, I tell them, you know, it's not a good idea to talk heavy for more than about 20 minutes, because that's about all you can handle seriously before your brain explodes. So it's useful to take a break and do something else. Because serious talk has to be taken seriously, and that requires focused energy, rational focused energy. And doing that for 20 minutes takes a lot of energy. So if you're going to do it on purpose, like a therapist, it's an acquired taste, and you have to have your own ducks in order not to get seduced off the trail with emotion or stories or seduced by humor to avoid talking about the point, right?
Yeah, the diversion.
So that depends on the contract in the treatment room.
I would think when you're in the boardroom, or the war room, depending on what level of gravity.
You're talking about my marriage now? What boardroom? Rotary?
I'm thinking of Fortune 500, I mean, where the negotiations and the focus and the discussions can be prolonged, can be very detailed, can have significant impacts.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The ability to maintain focus on topic, well, I think, would be either a learned thing or you'd have to sparse it out in some little mental vacations.
Yeah, a little bit I know about that stuff is that the nature of the decisions are often determined before the board meeting. So what happens in the board meeting is a lot of obligatory discussion before they get to the vote, which has pretty much been decided. So a lot of that then have to do with what looks good or what the obligatory discussion is in order to look fair and balanced.
The window dressing.
Window dress, yeah. Yeah. But a lot of decisions are made by phone calls, kitchen cabinets, over coffee, that sort of thing. And if they're not a decision that is made, then there is frequently an attitude that is influenced heavily toward one side or the other, one direction or the other. So frequently, when people get together to make a formal business or political decision, the decision's already been made to some extent.
During the fact-finding elements of it, though, how about a courtroom-type setting?
Well,
now the facts may be known, however,
there's an old lawyer's adage, you know, if the facts are against you, argue the law. If the law is against you, argue the facts. If the facts and the law is against you, attack your opponent. Right? So there's always the ad hominem attack that has to do with the emotional content of what goes on. And if lawyers, say, can seduce a witness into blowing up on the stand and get emotional, then they've got him. There was a movie recently about a firm that was representing a gun company and then another guy who was the opposition representing the woman whose guy husband was killed by an automatic weapon, blah, blah. And so the defense lawyer got the CEO of the gun firm on the stand and proceeded to seduce him into an emotional meltdown, which is really stupid. I mean, it's part of the movie, but it's really, really stupid to be a witness and allow yourself to be escalated into an emotional shouting match. It just doesn't look good to the jury at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't think that it would play out well on the front page either.
Right.
Yeah.
But then if you look at the power issue, the CEO was hoping his high-powered guy could hire the jury to make it go his way. So he wasn't paying attention to his own stuff. He was expecting somebody else to protect him. Well, that happens in marriage, too. That's what anger, blame, and criticism are for.
KINS News and Information Times, 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. Mark the dates August 14 through the 25th for the 117th annual Humboldt County Fair in Ferndale. Beginning opening day, there'll be 8 days of fast horse racing. Competing beef and dairy cattle, goats, poultry, sheep, and swine will be on display and judged. The flower pavilion will be filled with beautiful plants grown by county gardeners. The Art Pavilion will have many delights for the eye, and enjoy the judged exhibits of locally made items, from baked goods to hand-spun yarn, with much in between such as decorated potatoes, scarecrows, quilts, rugs, and home brews. There'll be plenty to eat and drink, so you can treat yourself to corn dogs and cotton candy. The Commercial Exhibits Building will feature fascinating products, and of course there's the Ferris Wheel and other rides the kids will want to try. For hours and information, call 786-9511. That's 786-9511. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people, places, and things that makes us a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. Yes, they could. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop.
Yes.
This afternoon with Lou Quimby. Lou, the concept of somebody being put on the, on the spot and then reacting emotionally.
Why are you telling me this? What do you want from me? I didn't do it. I wasn't there. The dog ate it.
Yeah.
Why are you picking on me?
There's,
my brother did it.
You still have regular discourse with teachers, don't you? Every single one.
Every single one.
The concept of self-control and what leads someone not to have it or to lose it momentarily. Is it all emotion all the time?
Well, it's emotion. And sometimes it's nature, sometimes it's nurture. If you have a whole lot of fetal alcohol syndrome in a child and they grow up, there may be times when they have no cognitive capacity to control the moment of the emotion. However, they do have cognitive capacity to control how they get into that situation that will generate that emotion, right? So if they take a gun into a store to stick it up, there's a lot of planning involved in that one. That's not just, right? Okay. But you get them in jail, and now you got two people poking the bear. It's bad news. There's no place to run, no place to hide there. They can't get out. They can't get away. They can't relieve the stress or the tension. So, bang, you got a fight going on. So that's not good. So planning how to get in and how to get out of trouble is a very useful skill to have. But that means you got to pay attention to something else besides the end of their nose. That means thinking about consequences.
Well, going back to your example before the break about in the courtroom setting, somebody in the witness box, allowing their emotions to take over, and losing self-control.
And that has to do, say, with the opposing lawyer asking them certain kinds of questions. Well, their own lawyer should have prepared them for that. Here's what the opposition is going to ask you. Here's what they're going to confront you about. Here's what they're going to accuse you of. Here's what you say when that happens. But if you have, in this case in the movie, an arrogant owner, executive, their arrogance overrides rationality, and they're relatively easy to hook under stress. And it's kind of sad. It's more like stupid. They won't pay attention to instruction from their lawyer or their mom or their dad and take this into other places. So they don't do what they're told, and then they get bad results. And then they fire their lawyer because their lawyer didn't fix it. That's the anger, blame, and criticism I was talking about before.
So that's more of arrogance?
Oh, yeah.
Not necessarily self-confidence or just
arrogance is self-confidence run amok. Self-confidence means I know what I know. I know how to make things work. I can achieve this end in my company with the cooperation of my staff and my executive staff, blah, blah, blah. And we have long-range goals about how to market our product and how to advertise it and blah, blah, blah. That's confidence in business. But arrogance is, I know best, and how dare you accuse me of being irresponsible? We make our quarterly quotas every quarter. I'm not irresponsible. Well, let's talk about the people that get killed. Now he's triggered because he won't take responsibility for that. And he won't minimize it the way his lawyers tell him to.
So will folks who tend to have episodes of losing self-control, do they tend to be the same triggering mechanisms? Do they tend to be just really tightly wound all the time and small little thing can push them over?
Not tightly wound all the time. Tightly wound about some things. And that's, for example, in the movie, that's what the lawyers want to do, is find out where those trigger points are and then poke the bear at the trigger point. Well, same thing in a marriage. If you poke your partner at a trigger point, you're guaranteed to get anger, blame, or criticism. So it's important to understand what those trigger points are about. Now, most of the time, trigger points in a relationship have to do with real or imaginary security. If it's imaginary security, then people have a big emotional reaction and a fight ensues. If it's real security, then the person says, why are you poking at me about that? This is a significant issue. Well, that pretty much stops the poking. Or if it doesn't, it should. If you're going to have a serious relationship, then when somebody says, don't do that, they go, why not? And then they tell you why, and then you go, oh, well, I don't care. I'll do it if I want to. now there's a serious problem. Because
or no problem at all.
Right. It depends on the other party's capacity.
Yeah.
I'll give you 3 months to get that straightened out. Here's a list of 3 therapists I think will help you out. Come back in 3 months.
Funny, they all end with Quimby. What's that about?
No. Oh, Lordy.
So when you discover a trigger point with yourself, how do you either round the corners off or learn, like you said, to avoid the scenario that sets that up?
When you learn the trigger point and you know about, you understand it, you know about it, the trigger is a device. A trigger is a word, a phrase, and a confrontation that triggers insecurity and lack of comfort internally. So you have to look at what issue that's about. Self-esteem, confidence.
Or something else.
Or something else.
It's 3:30.
You want hot buys on furniture and appliances? You've got them during Vern's Furniture's July Hot Buy Savings Event. Choose your new 7-piece living room group starting at just $899.95. In Vern's Sleep Center, the new Serta iComfort mattresses are the latest innovation. Or select your Englander mattress set in twin to king sizes. All with free local delivery and easy financing options. Hot buys on furniture and appliances during July at Vern's Furniture, 5th and G Streets in downtown. Town Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Simple Country therapist Lou Quimby. Lou, the concept of self-confidence. You hear phrases like his self-confidence was shaken to the core. Okay.
He ran up against something new, strange, bizarre, and different.
Who knows? So you've got that at one end, and then you've got over-the-top arrogant at the other, in this spectrum, where does healthy self-confidence end?
End?
And dysfunctional self-confidence begin?
Oh, checking in with other people. There's a skill in business consultation where they do a 360, where the boss gets to evaluate all the employees and the employees get to evaluate the boss. If you only got one employee, then it ain't secret, right? But if you got 10 employees and they all rate the boss, it can be secret. And the boss gets 10 employees who give him their reflection on his skills and his psychology and his pleasantly and like that. So that has to do with building self-confidence, not arrogance. Arrogant people are not interested particularly in what the little people say about them. They are not interested particularly in personal growth or change at an interpersonal relationship level. They just want to get what they want done, like if they're a big tycoon or something. Now, that can be said for some fathers and some mothers as well. They're not interested in feedback. Daddy, that was mean. So, if a mom tickles her son until he cries and he says, no, 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 stop, mommy, and she won't stop, that's arrogance, and that's mean-spirited. And then the kid doesn't have any choice. He can't get a car, can't rent an apartment, can't get a job. He's 6-8 years old. So he's going to have to go inside.
So that's arrogance, not power?
That's arrogant use of power on mother's part, and she's hurting her kid psychologically. You know, he's not going to die being tickled, but he's going to be hurt because his no isn't heard. And if people don't hear no, no means no, if they don't hear that and back off, then the other person has only got so many decisions that they can make about what to do when they're being abused. So they can suck it up, go inside and be quiet. They can learn to stay out of the way, or they can get aggressive and engage in aggression, or some series of decisions in between that. But the kid has got to do something to keep himself from going crazy or killing himself or killing his mom. So he makes some decisions about that. And then when he grows up, now he's got a power struggle with his mother. He's probably going to replicate that with his women. So he has a power struggle with women and doesn't understand it or necessarily know where or why it comes from. But if you talk to a therapist, they go, well, it's pretty clear that when you say no, and this big woman called your mother does it anyway, and you make a decision not to confront, then you're going to be attuned to the emotionality of being abused and not confronting it. So some people get their emotions met internally by that kind of circumstance. They get taken advantage of or taken for granted or abused lightly like that. They don't get to have their own way. They don't know how to negotiate because it was originally a power play between a big person and a little person. So when they go to therapy, they have to learn to negotiate between equals. Now, if a guy chooses a woman like his mother, where did mom learn to be mean-spirited like that? Came from somewhere. So this couple have to both look at what they're doing, where it came from, whether or not it's satisfying for them, and if they're going to quit it, what to do differently. Well, that was a showstopper.
I would say the self-confidence that sometimes we'll see in politics, we'll see in the athletic arena, we'll see in the business world, we'll see in school, we'll see in many places.
The recent unpleasantry with the governor of New Jersey who's now running for office again?
Christie.
Tall, slender guy. Anyway, he was...
He's mayor in New York.
I guess that's him, yeah. Anyway, he was governor, I think, or DA in New Jersey, and he was a big moral guy. And then he was hiring hookers on the side.
Spitzer.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Spitzer.
There's so many to choose from.
That's true. I go back to my age with the guy who was... the senator who was accused of having an affair, and he said, "Oh, you think you can prove it? Follow me around." And so they followed him around, and there he was.
And they did, yeah.
Duh.
Yeah.
That's arrogance backed up with stupidity and blind, just plain blindside. But now Spitzer is asking for a pass on his previous mistake. And I think, if I remember correctly, he put one of them on a credit card. Now, can you imagine being that stupid, that arrogant? Leaving a paper trail. That is really stupid. And then the other guy says, and what was the name of his boat? Monkey Business, the other guy.
He had a yacht. Gary Hart, was it?
Yeah. He had a yacht named Monkey Business. Can you believe? Look, the trail leads here to Monkey Business. Well, just wait here in the bushes until he comes by with his girlfriend. And he did. But that sort of thing. That's stupid arrogance, as opposed to what some of the Kennedys did. They got away with it because they had people to cover for them. That's a different issue.
Is there intelligent arrogance?
Oh yeah. You can't do what the Kennedys did without being intelligent about it. That's for sure.
Oh, so that's not just a financial. It's at least knowing where to spend your money.
Yes. Oh,
to
yes.
Cover
yes.
up your.
Where to put the money in the right places.
Your armadillos, yeah.
Exactly. Your armadillos. Yeah. Oh, I had an armadillo once and it crossed the road.
Chasing the chicken.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:43. We'll be back with more from Lou Quimby.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions, 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby. Lou, the concept with self-confidence run amok on one end, what does it look like on the other side? Lack of, or very, significant lack of?
Very quiet, low profile. Get a job where they tell you what to do and you do it efficiently, and then you go home. And if you're married, then you go home to kind of a stereotypic life. Not terribly dramatic, not terribly dull, just kind of ordinary.
So if you want to break out of either scenario, either the super self-confident, ramp it down a little bit.
Having an affair is not the way to do it.
Yeah, I would think not. Right. Or buying the boat.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's not the way to do it.
Or if you're on the other side and you want to kind of develop a little self-confidence.
Well, it's useful.
How do you do those safely and in measured steps so that it'll
stick? It's
useful
to know what you're afraid of.
Mike Freight?
Mike Freight. It's useful to know what you're afraid of. And lots of people don't want to look at that issue. And for lots of people, it's extremely hard to deal with that issue. And one of the reasons it's very hard to deal with it is when people get close to it and they say something about it, they frequently get reactions of anger, blame, or criticism.
From themselves or from those that they're working with?
From their partner, for example. So if they reveal themselves in a sensitive way about some scary thing, they're not as protected as they used to be when they're hiding behind that.
Well, sure, the callus has just been taken off.
Yeah. So if people are going to do that in a relationship, then when they talk about themselves, they have to make an agreement with the other person that will listen to them talk about themselves. And there's five rules for how to listen. One, you make small listening, acknowledging sounds like, uh-huh, yeah, okay, right. Two, you ask specific questions about what they are talking about. Not what you're thinking about, but questions about what they are talking about. Three, don't fix anything. Four, don't fix anything. Five, don't fix anything. Well, this is the hardest thing for a lot of people who listen, because they want to jump right in and fix it, and which is not what listening is about. So the difficulty with not fixing anything is you got to fight against your impulses to do anger, blame, criticism, judgment, and conclusion. Well, it seems to me that's stupid. And that person is no longer open to be talking to you about their sensitive stuff. And then it's all over. Then they go back in their cocoon, and then the other person starts scratching on the cocoon. You never talk to me. You never tell me how you feel. Well, I'm angry at you because... No, I don't care about how you're angry. I want to know how you feel. So when they say something about a feeling that the other person doesn't want to hear, there's a trouble. There's a problem.
I'm looking for something to pounce on tonight, dear.
Yeah.
How about your emotions?
How about you? How about maybe I could beat you up a little bit?
Yeah.
I got a lot of excess energy here. I talked to my mother today.
Yeah.
Mm.
Not me. I talked to my therapist. Thanks for coming by.
That's a pleasure.
A little segue, huh?
That was a nice segue. Yes,
all right.
Indeed.
All right. We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Luke Quimby. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. No, it won't.
No, you won't.
That's Shopping Show.
That's right.
Monday's Talk Shop.
That's right.
Get out in the sun.
That's right.
Yeah.